T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So while we face perpetual gridlock in Congress in Washington, D.C., can we, are we, will we get stuff done here at a state level? The early signs are somewhat encouraging that the answer to that may be yes.
Because we know how to be reach across the aisle here, we hope.
Compromise
we
isn't as dirty a word in St. Paul as it might be in Washington, D.C. What can we agree on? What can we compromise on? So we wanted to talk to incoming Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman about some of the things that have already been accomplished quickly, relatively quietly, with Senator Gazelka from the GOP. And incoming Speaker Melissa Hortman joins us today.
Hi, Speaker.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Still feels weird to be referred to as the incoming speaker.
That is a strange name. Hi, Speaker. It's a strange thing to say. Get used to it, honey. Get used to it, girlfriend. Let's talk about the things that we can agree on first. Get those out of the way and then talk about where the compromise has to come. It's my understanding that you went to dinner with Paul Gazelka and you kind of hashed out a couple of things. What do you think the House and Senate can agree on?
Well, we agree on a couple of things. The biggest thing we agree on is that all 201 lawmakers should be involved in making the laws. And we think that they should be done in public insofar as possible. So we're going to be counting on our chairs a lot to come to agreement. And our point of view is if our chairs can come to an agreement, who are we to screw that up? So we agreed to first start with that big 990-page bill that was put up for a vote the last night of the session, which Mark Dayton vetoed, and find the things in that 990 pages that everybody could agree were non-controversial and can literally fly off the House and Senate floor with broad bipartisan support.
Like what? What'd you find?
So we agreed that our chairs will delineate that. Some of the things that we talked about over dinner were that allowing Steve Simon to get the federal money to make our election system safer. There were some crimes that we made some adjustments to, just really little technical things. One piece that I carried is if you rape your spouse when your spouse is drunk or impaired by drugs, right now it's a 100% defense to say she was my wife, and we remove that defense to the rape statute. Nobody would have opposed that if it were put up for a vote by itself, but it was wrapped up in this 990-page bill. Another one we talked about, and we're hopeful that Tina Liebling, the House chair, and Michelle Benson, the Senate chair, can find an agreement on, is repealing a 7% cut in pay to folks who take care of people with disabilities. It was something that never should have happened, and we can prevent it if we pass just a simple measure. So we're hoping that will be in the bucket of non-controversial items.
Nice. And Speaker Hortman, the opioid epidemic, it looks like there might be some bipartisan support there for solutions.
Definitely. You know, there was a bill that passed the Minnesota Senate 62-5 during the regular session. That provision was not in the bill that we refer to as Omnibus Prime, the 990-page bill. But I do think if it passed 62-5 in the Minnesota Senate, we should be able to bring it up very early in the Minnesota House and pass something a lot like that.
All eyes on health care, certainly hot topics during election years. It certainly was for the midterms. Where do the House and Senate stand on that, and is there common ground?
Well, I think there will be areas of common ground, but that is one of the toughest nuts to crack in public policy. I say it's the public policy equivalent of doing laundry. Even though you might on Sunday get all your laundry done, you have all your shirts hanging in your closet how they're supposed to be, by the next Friday, you need to do laundry again. And it doesn't mean you did it terribly the first time. It just means there's more work to do. And that's what healthcare policy is like. There are a lot of different pieces to it. how do we take care of the elderly? How do we take care of folks with disabilities? And how do we deal with the fact that all of us are getting older? So I don't expect that there will be quick progress there because it's such a complicated issue.
Infrastructure, roads, bridges, you know, everybody wants more money to improve, maintain our roads, which, again, you go elsewhere in the country and you come back to Minnesota. As much as we like to complain about traffic and the condition of our roads, we're in pretty good shape compared to much of America. But it sounds like you're looking for sustainable solutions. And I know the whole user fee. When I hear user fee, Speaker, I think tolls. Am I off base there?
Yeah, I don't think Minnesotans want to see tolls. I think culturally we're sort of opposed to that here.
Yes, all the callers, when we ever have a segment on tolls, they don't want that.
We don't want to become Chicago and
or New Jersey.
Yeah.
I think there's bipartisan agreement on that. Yeah. So the part that will be difficult to solve, right? Nobody likes to pay more. Certainly those of us when, you know, your roof is damaged on your home and you need to put a new roof on, nobody loves that. But there are certain things you have to pay for because they're important. And how we pay for them will be a difficult conversation. So I don't think the transportation bill will be a something we'll find bipartisan agreement on right away, but maybe it will be earlier in session than the big end of session budget deal.
What are thoughts on how to spend the budget? We might have over $1 billion surplus this year. Do you guys agree on how to use that money? Will some of it go for roads?
Well, we've kind of all seen this movie before. Generally speaking, Democrats would like to spend more money on education and healthcare. And generally speaking, Republicans favor letting the private market run a little bit more unfettered. So they like to see tax cuts. And so I, at the end of the day, I think you'll see some increased spending in education and health care, and you'll see some corporate tax cuts with everybody getting a little piece of what they want to get done. I think the thing that's really different is Paul Gazelka and I both see that the other person has to get a win in order for there to be a compromise. There have to be some win-win solutions where each of us walk away and we say we're happy with what we got out of the deal. Neither one of us see it as a win-lose thing, where in order to feel successful at the end of session, we have to feel that we've denied the other person any victories on any issues.
Speaker, so many cities went bonkers trying to attract the second headquarters for Amazon. But I think, you know, on a much smaller scale, what can we do to attract more businesses, good businesses, more entrepreneurs, small business? What can we do to create a playing field that attracts more companies to Minnesota and gives the startups that are out there a fighting chance, maybe a better chance of surviving and being able to employ a lot of Minnesotans?
Well, Minnesota's secret sauce has always been a highly educated workforce. Mm-hmm. People, as you know, don't move here for our wind chill. They move here for a workforce that they can really count on day in and day out. We are a very hardworking people. We have the highest labor force participation rate in the country, and we generally have a very well-educated population. So I think we stick with our strength. You know, in corporate management speak, we call this the hedgehog concept. What a hedgehog does is he's really good at being a hedgehog. And if you stick to what you're really good at, then you're more likely to be successful. So I think that means making sure that the University of Minnesota is accessible to students who want to attend there, making sure our state colleges and universities are excellent places to get job skills training. And also, I think what we could do a better job of highlighting all the training opportunities through the skilled trades in Minnesota. They have fabulous training opportunities, lots of them paid opportunities, and I think it's kind of the best kept secret in Minnesota.
Can we agree on environmental issues? Is there any bipartisan agreement? When I think Minnesota, I think, forgive me, I think quality of life. I think about our lakes, our rivers. I mean, we have something amazing here, and we want to keep it that way, right, for our kids and our grandkids. Any possible bipartisan support on common sense measures without raising taxes to make sure that the Minnesota DNR, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, have the budgets they need to keep our lakes and rivers as good as they are or better?
I think lakes is an area where we could see some bipartisan agreement. I know, Senator Gazelka is from really lakes country, where the beauty of the lakes is the most significant economic asset of the community. And we're really in danger in a lot of our lake associations of seeing too slow of progress to protect the lakes from some of the threats. So I think that that's an area you could see collaboration. And we've got a great track record of working together on the environment in Minnesota. The renewable energy standard that passed in 2007 passed with overwhelming bipartisan support in both chambers. In 2008, as our country stared down the face of an impending recession, we all chose together to raise our sales tax, a tiny little increment, to pay for clean water. So I think there is a lot of common ground on clean energy and clean water. It just depends on how we exactly do it.
We've seen a lot of special sessions lately. You guys have to pass a budget. How confident are you we're going to get it done on time?
I'm hopeful that we will get it done on time. I'm meeting with Senator Gazelka often and meeting with Governor-elect Walz tomorrow to talk about setting some interim deadlines. Whenever you have a really big project, if you only have the one deadline of when that big project is due, you can't expect to get it done on time. So what we need to do is create some interim deadlines that we make public, and then the public forces us to meet so that we have interim deadlines that show that we're making progress towards the end. I think in the last 4 years, we've seen kind of everything get saved until the last minute of session, and that's not been good for getting things done.
Is there anything for you personally as the incoming speaker that will make this a successful session for you?
I think having the public see what's going on a little bit more. My first term was 2005-2006, and Republican Steve Swigum was the speaker. And the way that Republican Speaker Swigum ran the institution, he believed in open committee process, conference committees that were given targets, and that made decisions that the public could see. So I will feel really good about the session if we bring the public back in and they get to see us doing our work as we do it.
Full transparency sounds good to me.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, incoming Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman, thank you for joining us today on CCO. Good luck.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Speaker. She should get used to that name.
Speaker. Yeah.
That's right. I like it. It's also 523.
What's that line from Anchorman? I'm kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. We'll have them on. We'll hold their feet to the fire. We'll have Paul Gazelka. He's been on with us before.
Yep.
We'll ask how they're doing. We'll ask if they're meeting their deadlines. We'll keep that transparency here through the radio. We want to aid in that. Get things done around here.
That's right. All right.
It's also 5:23. We'll be right back here on CCO.
One area that's going to be challenging, I predict, is gun control.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the GOP historically, how do we make schools safer? How do we protect people, do a better job protecting everyone? And a lot of times the DFL comes in and, you know, universal background checks, which many people think is possibly a good idea, preemptively allowing law enforcement to go in. If somebody is sending signals that they're having, you know, mental issues, to be able to go in and remove firearms from that home. So that'll be interesting. My hunch is healthcare and any level of that's going to be where the rubber meets the road.
It's fascinating to hear her say, though, that their tactics for making progress seem to be quite different than they are on the national scale. You know, we just heard Speaker Hortman say that she and Paul Gazelka both realize that it doesn't take a loss on the other side for them to get a win. And she said it's going to be small bites, small increments to get a win. But that's how compromise is created. That's how deals are done. You don't want the other person to feel like they've just been decimated, because that's not going to get you anywhere. So if everybody inches their way toward a little bit of victory, then you win a little, you lose a little, you win a little, and you keep that relationship to make progress for the people of Minnesota. It's very different than what we're hearing on a national level. And even Dan pointed out during the break, it's very different than the Kurt Dowd Governor Dayton relationship. You know, that was contentious. They were fighting. They were, they were yelling at each other on the, well, not yelling, but they didn't really yell, but they were being, contentious on the air, even with us, about the other one. So it's sort of a different tone. And I don't know if you heard that. What stuck out in your mind about the conversation, and do you think progress will be made? You know, Paul Gazelka's hands are kind of tied. I mean, he's got a Democratic governor coming in. He's got a Democratic House. So if he wants to get anything done, he probably is going to have to give a little bit. But I'm glad to hear our new Democratic incoming speaker saying she knows she's going to have to give a little bit, too. What jumped out at you? 651-989-9226. And also, are we being really Minnesotan leading the way in this new temperament here we have in our legislature?
Well, I think, again, with the gridlock in Washington, D.C., Congress really not getting a whole lot done.
A president's getting stuff done. Bump stocks today.
Yeah. But Congress, you know, there really isn't much bipartisan mm-hmm. support for much of anything these mm-hmm. days. Healthcare, immigration, on down. But again, a lot of the solutions are coming at a local city level, right. at a state level.
Right.
So Congress in D.C. not doing its job. All right, we're going to fill that vacuum. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, which to me seems like a good idea.
Yeah. There was some movement today, by the way. The White House did signal, and you heard about this in Adams News, and we're going to talk about it again after the break, that the president might be backing down on that demand for $5 billion from Congress for the wall. He might be backing down in order to avoid a shutdown. So we'll talk a little more in depth about what Sarah Sanders had to say. And is that what you want? Do you say, okay, great. I mean, Chuck Schumer at the beginning of last week offered him $1.3 billion. The president said, no, I want five. Sarah Sanders said today they might be getting $1.6 billion from Congress for the wall. That seems very Minnesotan. Everyone's giving a little bit and losing a little bit.
Would that be a starter wall? Maybe a smaller wall?
A half wall. It's a pony wall, as the designers would say.
It's only 3 feet high, but hey.
I don't know. So are we seeing some progress there? We'll talk a little bit about that movement and if you are in favor of that in order to avoid a shutdown here on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The president wants $5 billion. Would he take $2.5 billion? Would that be an acceptable number?
We would take, we have other ways that we can get to that $5 billion that we will work with Congress if they will make sure that we get a bill passed that provides not just the funding for the wall, but there's a piece of legislation that's been pushed around that Democrats actually voted 26-5 out of committee that provides roughly $26 billion in border security, including $1.6 billion for the wall. That's something that we would be able to support as long as we can couple that with other funding resources that would help us get to the $5 billion.
And she added, quote, at the end of the day, we don't want to shut down the government. We want to shut down the border.
And she mentioned in her quote that there had already been a bill where the Democrats had offered $1.6 billion for the wall. Then the president went back and said, I want $5 billion. And now and Chuck Schumer offered $1.3 billion earlier last week. I believe it would have this conversation. But now it's $1.6 billion, and that might be enough. Clearly, they're trying to not shut down the government, which I think is a valiant effort. I think if you are looking at shutting down the government affects a lot of people right before Christmas, a lot of employees, a lot of organizations. So, no, anytime you can avoid that, it's a good thing.
I've read, and again, I look at a number of different sources, mm-hmm. but it seems the recent volatility in the stock market, you know, this big 1,000-point drop, mm-hmm. now we're in correction territory. There are reports that the president is, quote, rattled by this. You know, he's been pushing back on the Fed, hey, don't raise interest rates. But I think there is some legitimate concern at the administration about injecting additional uncertainty. The president loves to be unpredictable. That's part of his trademark. That's part of his brand, his persona.
You think he loves that?
I think he likes
think
the fact. I think he is unpredictable. Mm-hmm. But the markets hate unpredictability.
That's for sure.
And that's, you know, one of many reasons why mm-hmm. the market has taken such a tumble. And yeah, there is some concern about you hear the R word, the recession mm-hmm. word being thrown around. But last time I checked, the economy is doing pretty well. Unemployment still historically low. But everybody a little bit concerned about 2019 and beyond.
So if you called us last week and said, yes, it's $5 billion or shut down the government, do you think that this is a good compromise? Do you think them finding the rest of the $5 billion. They're saying they could get it from a number of different funding sources, even the military budget.
Couldn't they find that in the seat cushions?
They might pull
at
some
at the Pentagon,
from. Maybe.
Right?
Is this a better option? 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Are you willing to now go to different locations for some of that funding for border security? And I guess Sarah didn't say today that it would definitely be a wall. Didn't she say that in her soundbite? That it has to, that, yeah, I guess they've been, well, they've been demanding the $5 billion for the border wall, but now she says we have other ways to get to that $5 billion. So, yeah, I guess it's still for the wall, but maybe they know they're not going to get it from Congress and they're looking other options. Is that great? Is that what you want to see? Do you want to see them go and find it from other places? Or would you rather see the government shut down, dig in those heels, and have some consequences? 651-989-9226.
Of course, this directly impacts federal employees who wouldn't be paid. And I discovered that the Secret Service, who protects the president,
yes,
would not be paid.
Oh, well, they have to keep working, though.
They have to, well.
They have to work.
You would think.
You have to protect the president.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some of the texters say, I'm curious who owns the property where the wall would be installed. Oh, I'm sure it's government property. Absolutely government property. Another texter says, let Trump pay for the wall himself. He's a billionaire. I don't think he's a billionaire five times over, though, if he really is a billionaire. Which I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know that that's been proven yet. David's in Plymouth. David, jump on in here. Should we dig in our heels or should we go find that money somewhere else?
There'll be no wall.
No wall.
How so?
There'll be no wall, number one. Number two, within 90 days, 120 at the most, there'll be a new person in the White House.
Really? Wait, do you know something we don't, David?
No, I'm just stating a fact. This guy is a complete idiot, period.
90 days. David, call us back in 90 days. I'm very curious to know if this prediction, he might be a prophet, is going to come through.
Thank you. I hope so.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
I don't know. David sounds like he's got some inside information.
We don't know what we don't know.
I don't know. He says no wall, and he's going to be out in 90 days. And by the way, I'm also reading here that some of the kids that are there are currently 15,000 children being held in detention centers that cross the border illegally that are being held or looking for asylum. And some of them might be released to their families before Christmas. So that's good news. And it's a story that we're going to be keeping our eye on for tomorrow. Rod's in Wisconsin. Rod, what do you think? You want that wall or you want the shutdown?
I think this stupid wall. I'm so sick of hearing about walls. I'm going to climb the wall. But he probably, somebody told him that they are going to build a wall. So he's on this thing, on this trip, going to build a wall just to get reelected. You know, they built a wall in Israel. They said it was 100 feet deep, and they tunneled underneath Palestinians.
They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They do.
You're
they
right.
Tunnel under. You can build a wall up, but they tunnel under. People find a way.
And if it's 40 foot high, they'll get a 40 foot ladder.
Do they make those?
Somebody will make them. Are you kidding? It's capitalism. Somebody will make a big ladder.
A special wall ladder? Imported from China?
All right, Rod, I hear you. We're frustrated too, Rod. We
Thanks,
hear
Rod.
You. But it's the world that we're living in now. And, you know, just last week it was $5 billion or we're shutting the government down. Now they're saying we'll find the money somewhere else. Is that good? Is it bad?
I keep wondering if we could do it for a fraction of the price with a virtual electronic wall with monitoring.
Well,
we had this discussion about drones and I mean, you could be tracking people when they're 20 miles away from the U.S. border.
That's where I fall on this. I believe we need better border security. No, we can't have people just walking across somewhere and disappearing into our country. So while we can do better on immigration. So I believe we need better border security. I don't believe we need a wall. I believe we need monitoring. I believe maybe some kind of a fence that keeps people out. They have that in Israel, too. They have fences. We need something better than what we have now. I don't believe we should be spending $5 billion on it. If the Democrats or somebody suggested we can do it properly with 1.3 or 1.6, I believe there's wiggle room in there. I believe you need to find some money for better border security, but this is not a point we should be sticking our heels in and saying $5 million or I shut you down. I don't agree with that.
But the president promised a wall.
Well, I don't care what he promised.
A physical wall. So this is about following through on one of his promises.
That's all ego, and don't even get me started. It's everyone's downfall. So you listening out there know that there's a better way to do this without egos getting in the way of progress. Harry's in Minneapolis. Harry, jump in here.
Yeah. You know, I don't think we're going to be the president's wed to the $5 billion, and I think there's probably room to compromise. And I agree with Paul and Joanna that there's going to be other ways to do this. However, why are the Democrats so afraid of this wall? You know, you don't hear the Democrats saying, you know, I think it's a good idea, but I want to spend $3 billion. Or I think why are they so afraid?
Well, they said $1.3 billion. Chuck Schumer offered $1.3 billion last week.
He does, but they say, well, we'll give one point, but they don't say, we want to have strong border security. We want a wall. They don't agree. I mean, they won't admit that a wall will help. Will it be the be-all and end-all? No. And will we need to do technology and other things? Yes. And the president's not 100% right that the wall is the total answer. But we spend money on foreign aid, which I support, but we spend money on foreign aid. We spend billions going to Iraq, which I was a supporter of the Iraq war as well. Why can't we spend $5 billion in our own country defending our border? This is our country, for crying out loud. What's so scary about a wall? What's so scary about $5 billion for a wall when we're so eager to spend money other places?
Harry, good call. I'm glad you got in.
Good point.
I'm glad you got in. It's 5:49. Odie, we see you. We're going to try to get to your call after the break.
In the meantime, 5:49, Wicks and Jewelers time. Don't drive all over town or fight mall crowds. You'll be done with your Christmas shopping in just one stop to Wicks and Jewelers. Build the wall. This is ego, right, on both sides.
And it shouldn't be. Now the White House says, you know what? We're going to find the money somewhere else to build the wall, but they're trying to avoid a shutdown. Is that what you want, or should they be digging their heels in? Kevin is in Minneapolis. Jump in here, Kev.
Hey there. You know, I think that Trump should keep his campaign promise. So his campaign promise was that they're going to build the wall and they're going to make Mexico pay for it. So as soon as Mexico gives them that $5 billion, I think they should start that construction.
Do you think that's going to happen, Kevin?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, let's sneak in one more call. Odie is in Danube. Hey, Odie.
Hi there.
Hey, Odie.
You guys are busy. Here's my deal. I agree. I was going to say the same thing as the previous guy. Oh. Trump said in his campaign promise, Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, now he wants us to pay for it. But in the first place, he torqued off Mexico. He torqued off Canada. He torqued off China. The people that are suffering are the U.S. farmers.
Yeah.
We're getting less for milk today than we did in 1985, and I'm a family dairy farmer.
Yeah.
Hey, Odie, I'm sorry.
Can you imagine that, guys?
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Odie, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm glad you got in, Odie. But, yeah, that's a whole other conversation for another day. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But it's hard. You got to remove the ego out of this. Even the caller said if the Dems would just admit that it's the wall, that there's a lot of ego wrapped up in there. We got to get that
Nobody
out
Nobody wants to give anybody else a win. Hopefully,
in Minnesota, they do.
In Minnesota, we do things different. Yeah, thank God.
Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, we start at 3 here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.